Now, there are days where I only rest and relax, and he'd be happy to tell you that. I'm really big into watching K-dramas, and once I start, I cannot stop, like, or C-dramas. I will get through like 30 episodes before I am able to function as a human being. I love to read, and same thing, if I get sucked into a good book or a series, I'm out until I finish it. So there are definitely days where I am not optimizing across every single category, but there are a lot of things that I do to try to do my best. The second thing that's really important to know about yourself and also about me is I'm a believer that individuals have very different stress thresholds. Okay. Some people, like myself, can handle extreme amount of stress and still function pretty normally. There are other people who need a more moderate level of stress, and there are other people who really need low stress. Part of this is understanding yourself. Hi there, my corporate lovelies. Thanks for tuning in another week. This week, we are going to be talking about how to be a high achiever and accomplish all of the things. This particular topic was requested through my website by Haley. So Haley, if you're listening, thank you for the wonderful topic idea. Hopefully this helps you out. Otherwise, we're going to go ahead and jump right in. And for the first time in a long time, I have notes down to the side because there are some very specific things that I want to talk about in this episode. So we'll jump right in. First is, I'm going to be totally honest that 99% of the time, I feel like I am behind the ball. Okay. There are a lot of things that we all want to do. If you are a high achieving individual, there are so many what feels like competing priorities for your time. Yes, there is your career, which is what we primarily talk about, but there's also a ton of other things that we are trying to accomplish, whether that's with our health, whether that's with our family, whether that's with our friends. And so today we're going to kind of talk about all of the things that hold us back from accomplishing those things, how to give yourself a little bit of grace, and then how I personally manage my time so that I can optimize across a lot of these factors. Quick aside, if you guys are not following me on Instagram, That Career Coach, or my personal Instagram, which is Mrs. Monument, on Mrs. Monument, I'm doing a 12-month challenge to becoming the best version of myself. So this episode is really well-timed with that because that just kicked off a couple of weeks ago. And the goal is to optimize across six different areas of life. So the first is health. The second is wealth. The third is appearance. Fourth is social. Fifth is mindset, and sixth is faith and spirituality. And I feel like these are kind of the six big areas, especially as high achievers, that we're trying to optimize on all fronts, and there just isn't enough time in the day. And so these things can be really, really challenging. So I'll talk about some of the ways that I focus on these six areas. I'd love to hear in the comments or on my social media, what are some of the things that you'd like me to try or that you guys use. But we'll talk through high level, and then we'll talk through some of the tools that I use to accomplish these things. So first off, as I mentioned, I am not 1000% consistent with everything. There is just too many demands on our time. And so we need to be able to give ourselves grace. We need to be able to take a step back and say, it's okay that I didn't get to every single thing on my to-do list today. Or it's okay that I logged on later in the evening, if it is your choice to get certain things done that I didn't have time for. It's also okay to say, hey, today I'm not doing anything. I tell people my personality, I am either hyper productive or an absolute potato. There is no in between for me. I always look at my husband with envy because he can like do a task, sit down and relax, go do another task, sit down and relax. I do not operate that way. I must do all of my tasks before I can rest and relax. It's just my personality type. Now, there are days where I only rest and relax, and he'd be happy to tell you that. I'm really big into watching K-dramas, and once I start, I cannot stop, like, or C-dramas. I will get through like 30 episodes before I am able to function as a human being. I love to read, and same thing, if I get sucked into a good book or a series, I'm out until I finish it. So there are definitely days where I am not optimizing across every single category, but there are a lot of things that I do to try to do my best. The second thing that's really important to know about yourself and also about me is I'm a believer that individuals have very different stress thresholds. Okay. Some people, like myself, can handle extreme amount of stress and still function pretty normally. There are other people who need a more moderate level of stress, and there are other people who really need low stress. Part of this is understanding yourself. Now, I have always been very high performing, very type A, and as a result, I have built up resiliency to a lot of stress. Okay. There are a lot of people on social media, I feel like, who talk about now being like addicted to the cortisol and addicted to the stress and the things you do. And I'm the first to admit that I 1000% fall in that bucket. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that's healthy. I'm not saying that I don't need to take a break and meditate. I'm just saying that for me personally, I am very antsy if I'm not being productive. I recently read the book Worthy by Jamie Kern. And one of the things it talks about is like, what are the things we tell ourselves in our head? What are some of those misconceptions and like, how do we overcome them? One of the big ones for me is that my value lies in my productivity. Okay. There's a lot that I do to try to get away from that, where I can feel valuable and worthy without having to be productive. But all of this is really important to set the stage, because as you listen through the rest of the episode of the things I do and how I optimize, it's important to keep in mind that I operate at a really high level of stress. For me, that is a really normal functioning pattern. I have other friends, a good friend of mine, Diana YK Chan, she has made an entire business around working as little hours as possible so that she can go to the spa, so that she can vacation, so she can be there for her kids. And that works really, really well for her. But I tell people all the time that if I didn't have my corporate job or I didn't have my coaching, like I'd have withdrawals from having, I would just fill that time with other things that I wouldn't want to do because I like to be busy. So if you don't like to be busy and you don't like to do all the things, we're going to talk about some ways you can kind of fit some of this stuff in your schedule in a way that's sustainable. But if you are a high performing type A individual and you're like, yes, give me all the stuff. I like to be busy all day long. I like to do stuff all day long. We'll talk about that too. So the first is going to be, we're going to focus on health. So I exercise for the safety of the people around me. Okay. I have very high functioning anxiety. I get very stressed out about things in the future. I can be very self-destructive in that I get stressed out that I'm not doing enough, going back to that productivity. And so for me, exercise is a way to calm my brain. It is the way that I get my brain to shut off. As a result, I really genuinely like exercise. All right. Now, if you're like, she's one of those people, I don't like exercise at all. Cool. You should exercise anyways. And once you get through the first 3 weeks, I bet you feel exactly like I do, where you're like, oh, nope, this is great. Now I don't know how to go back to life without it. Just my opinion. So I exercise usually 4 to 6 days a week. I don't exercise every day. Your body does need rest. There was a time period in my life where I was exercising 7 times a day. It is not good for you. Do not recommend. 4 days a week usually works really well for me. Some days I will hit all 5 Monday through Friday. Some days I'll work out on the weekend. But generally for me, I'm a morning person. My highest energy is at about 6:30 in the morning. So I work out most mornings. My husband, on the other hand, he's a night energy person. He would work out in the evening or in the afternoon. So part of this, I think, is figuring out what your energy levels are when you're at optimal energy. I try to time my workouts at my optimal energy. I know that if I miss my morning workout and it starts getting to 2, 3 p.m., I'm not going to work out. It's not going to happen that day because I'm going to be tired. I'm going to come up with excuses. I'm not going to want to do it. That's just my personality. So figure out what works for you from a timing perspective. Huge thank you to today's sponsor for our episode, Symposia Academia. They assist individuals to get into cybersecurity, and you do not need a degree or any prior work experience. They'll help you land a GRC analyst position in cybersecurity with their 4-step process, which includes training, an internship, interview preparation, and then on-the-job support. In order to get started, go ahead and head over to the link www.symposia.com/channel-partner/KB-3. You can also find this link down in the show notes, but again, it is symposia.com/channel-partner/KB-3, and check them out. As far as what workouts I like to do, I do like to change it up a lot. I'm a huge fan of lifting weights. I'm a huge fan of Pilates, of bar. I don't like yoga, but I need yoga. again, this comes back to that productivity thing to me. Yoga can be too slow. There was a studio when I lived back in Dallas that had a very fast-paced, warmer room yoga that I really, really enjoyed. And I went 5 days a week to that class. But where I am in Colorado, there's just not a similar option close to me in any kind of way that is sustainable. So I do morning yoga flows at the studio that I do Pilates at, but less frequently, because to me, it's just not that same energetic release that I feel like I need from my workouts. Too much time in my own brain and yoga. So I do like to change it up. I do a lot of different things. One of the things I am doing as I'm trying to get less addicted to cortisol, as I'm trying to decrease my stress level, is doing more lower impact exercise. So right now what I'm doing is I swim Mondays and Fridays. I do Pilates Tuesdays and Thursdays. I do yoga on Wednesdays. And then on the weekends, I only do something if like my family's doing it. So if my kids want to go take tennis, maybe I'll play tennis with them. If my family wants to go for a hike, we'll all go hiking together. If we all want to go to the pool, we'll go to the pool together. So my weekends are really, really my family time. So when it comes to the health aspect, that's kind of how my week is structured right now. There have been other seasons where I was lifting 5 days a week. There have been other seasons where I did no cardio. Right now, I'm kind of in a mid balance of cardio and strength training that's very low impact, low stress. The other side of health is obviously diet, and I ebb and flow. So I have a good friend, Natalie, who talks all the time about how she's like eats in moderation and she knows what her body likes. I have so much pride in these people who can operate that way. And there's a huge mindset component to it. I am not a fitness expert. But what I will say is I tend to be healthier when there are clear boundaries and rules of what I can do. This goes back to that high performing type A. So right now I'm eating only paleo. So I eat meats, seeds, nuts, fruit, veggies, period. Okay. Now this does require that I cook every single meal myself. It's very difficult to eat out on this. There are places you can go, but it is a little bit harder. And for me, I operate really well in that for a time period. Now, one of my goals this year is to extend that and make that more sustainable and make that something that I can continue doing. But as a result, I'm a girl who's grew up Italian. I love pasta and croissant and pretty much any bread. And it is really challenging for me to go without that. So at some point I will reintroduce that in a way that is moderate and more sustainable. But for now, it's easier for me to just kind of cut it out. So when it comes to having to cook each meal, a lot of people are like, you should just meal prep. Meal prepping is great. I hate microwaved food. I'm just going to be honest. Like, I want to say it's great and it's such a time save and that'll help you. It's gross. It is so gross. Like, I don't want to microwave my food and I don't want to eat the same thing every day. I'm sorry. Some people are like, I have a routine. I eat the same thing for breakfast, same thing for lunch, same thing for dinner. That's awesome. No, food is my love language and my one true passion. So I follow a girl on Instagram. If I find it, I'll tag it. But she creates a meal plan where every meal, Monday through Sunday, is different, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But you eat the same week for a month. Does that make sense? So Monday breakfast, lunch, and dinner is the same every single week in that month. Tuesday is the same every week in that month. So you get a lot of variety within the week, but you have a very consistent grocery list. You have a very consistent list of what you need to cook, and you kind of find a rhythm with it. So for me, I have different breakfasts every day. I have different lunches, different dinners, but then I repeat them. So my grocery list stays very consistent, which saves me time at the grocery. And I carve out time for myself to cook. So again, I'm a morning person. So I work out. I'm usually done by 7 o'clock. Usually I start my workouts around 6. I wake up at about 5:30 is when my alarm goes off. By 7, I'm cooking breakfast. By 7:30, my family's up and we eat. So that's my breakfast routine. Lunches, I always have blocked on my calendar, both corporate and coaching. I would say 50% of the time that actually works. The other 50% of the time, I end up taking coaching calls. On the days that I have calls, I eat a charcuterie board for lunch. It takes me 3 minutes to grab all the cheeses I like out of the fridge, all of the cuts of meat that I like out of the fridge, chop them up, put them on a board, throw some grapes on there, and that's my lunch. So that is intentionally planned into my week on busy days so that I'm not stressing about what to eat. Because when I stress about what to eat, then I end up sending my husband out to grab something that's quick we can pick up, or I end up eating a Hot Pocket because that's what's in the freezer and it's convenient. So charcuterie is kind of my go-to lunch meal right now. And it's just fast, it's convenient, it's healthy. And then dinners I cook when I get off work. Now, I am burnt out a lot of the time and don't feel like cooking. So there are a few places around me that are like my safety takeouts. So there's a Chinese place up the road for me that does a really good Hunan chicken. It comes with a ton of veggies, tons of chicken. That's kind of my go-to if I don't want to cook. Mexican food is another great option. I can get fajitas, no tortillas. I do have to like not eat chips and salsa. So I just tell them not to bring it to the table, because if they bring it to the table, I'm eating it. But that is some of my options. If I am feeling really tired after work, really burnt out, I don't want to cook, those are where I go. And those are kind of built into my plan and into my budget. So that's health holistically, how I fit it into my schedule, what I do personally. In the wealth aspect, I actually recreated my budget last month. I read the book Rich AF by Vivian Tu. It's a really good book. There's nothing in it that's like super groundbreaking, but it was really helpful to kind of reset my own financial expectations. And I really like Vivian. I think she's amazing. And when I was recreating my budget, one of the things that I did is I really looked through all of my actuals. How much was I spending on all these things? Because I'm a very optimistic budgeter. And I think, oh, I'll just budget this way and then that's all I'll spend, but it never works out that way. So I looked back at how much were my grocery bills over the last 6 months? How much was I shopping? How much was I spending on Amazon? I have a separate budget just for Amazon that once a month I can buy everything in my cart. So throughout the month, I add stuff to my cart. And then at the end of the month, I can buy what's in my cart when I need it. So creating those budgets, those buckets, I have a shopping bucket for things I want to buy for me or for my kids, for my husband. I have an Amazon budget because I do spend a lot on Amazon for things I can't get here, for toiletries. And then I have a grocery budget, and then I have a budget for when I eat out. And then I have all my bills, and then I have beauty services built in there as well. So figure out what you're spending your money on first, create a baseline, and then create a budget with buckets for each of these. There's a really good outline for how to do this in that book that I mentioned, and we'll tag it in the show notes. But creating a budget, I think, is really important for your wealth. The second thing is make sure that you're investing. There's a school of thought that says pay off all your debt until you have all your debt paid off. Don't invest. That's stupid. I have a car payment and I'm investing, as you should be. Okay. And when I invest, I use primarily like a 401k, and then I have a couple of investment accounts that I use. So figure out what your options are, and then talk, if you have a tax accountant, what investments you're able to do that are most optimal for your tax situation. So for me, I have a solo entrepreneurial 401k, and then I have a corporate 401k, and those are my two primary that I use. So figure out what your investment portfolio needs to look like. And then also make sure you're having really open conversations with your spouse. So very unpopular opinion quickly, my husband and I have separate bank accounts. We manage money very differently. I am a budgeted, multiple accounts, every dollar has a place kind of person. And my husband is all in my checking account. I have some extra in savings, but I just spend out of that account. And because we have very different managerial styles, neither of us are going into crazy amounts of debt. Neither one of us are overspending, but it's just easier for us to have separate accounts. So figure out what your spouse's spending style is. Maybe you combine accounts, great. Maybe you don't, great. But if you don't, you need to have that two-way communication. My husband and I do kind of quarterly/biannual check-ins of, hey, what are our finances looking like? Where do we need to spend our time? How are we using our money? What things do we want to do around the house? Stuff like that. So that's wealth. For appearance, there's a few things that I do. So a lot of these are going to fall under like beauty services. So if you're a dude listening, maybe you fast forward a little bit. But for me, I do get my nails done. It's a big thing for me, mostly because, I'm very ADHD, and I stim and I pick at my nails. And so if I have my nails done, I don't do that. So that's why. That's the whole reason why I get my nails done. Otherwise, I would just not do that. But for me, it keeps me from messing with my hands. I do my own eyelashes because I'm cheap and I don't want to pay somebody else to do them. So I do my own eyelashes. Doing it myself, they'll last about a week, but they cost a fourth of as much as getting them done in the salon. So I've gotten pretty good at that over the last year and a half that I've been doing those. I do take pretty good care of my skin. I get facials about once a month. I've done plasma facials, hydrofacials. I'm doing a new Korean facial next month that I'll be sharing on my social media. And then I do color my hair. Obviously, my hair is naturally very dark, and it has been blonde for a majority of my life, and that costs money too. I do not get my hair cut. I cut my own split ends and otherwise kind of let it grow unless I'm doing like a big chop. And that saves a little bit of money on that side. But these are some of the things I do for appearance. And then I did recently work with a stylist who's going to be coming on the podcast here shortly. Her name is Samantha Dawn. And she helped me learn a lot about my body style, how to dress for my body type, how to shop. And that was really helpful for me because I found myself personally, I'm working from home. I have young kids. I'm wearing a lot of sweatpants. I live in Colorado. It's cold. It's a lot of sweatpants going on in my house. And personally, I just got sick of that. I wanted to appear my best because that makes me more confident, makes me more comfortable with who I am. And it makes me, I think, resonate better with clients, with people that I work with. And honestly, it's just nice to walk by my husband's office and feel real cute. Okay. So those are some of the things that I do in appearance, and those I try to consolidate. So sometimes I'll take a half day on a Friday and just knock out two or three appointments. So I'll go get my nails done. I'll get a facial. I'll get my hair colored, for example, or I love massages. I didn't mention massage. I don't know where that would fall. Health, appearance. I don't know. I love massages. Or I'll get a massage and my nails done at the same time. So I do certain things like that, but I try to group them together to save as much time as possible and to save as much travel as possible when I can do them at the same location. And I try to weave those in the week so that they don't take away from my time with my family. If you're not remote and you cannot weave them in during your working schedule, I would recommend picking like a day of the week where you do it in the evenings and trying to kind of stay within that. Like, hey, Mondays is when I do my beauty appointments. It's every Monday after work. That way there's kind of consistency for you so that you can stick to it, but also for your family. So that's a little bit about the appearance side. So when it comes into the social, a big thing that I do on the social side of my life is I competed for Mrs. Colorado the last 2 years. It's great because I volunteer in the community all the time. I want to be involved with nonprofits. I want to bring awareness to nonprofits. I want to do fundraisers. And that's kind of been the avenue which I've been able to do that and build good friendships and get to spend some time. Now, for social specifically, I will say I have a really, really great spouse. He is really supportive of everything that I want to do. He will watch the kids for me and never complains. And that frees me up to do more social things. If you find yourself in a different situation and you have young kids, make friends with other parents where you can take your kids and then your kids are solo keeping themselves busy and you guys can talk and have conversation and have that social aspect, because I find that so important. Most of my social takes place Saturday and Sunday. So I have a really hard and fast rule that on the weekends I do not work. The one exception to this was when I was writing my book that will come out in November. I did take 2 hours on Sunday to write my book. Now, during that time, I have childcare at the gym we go to. I would put the kids in childcare. I would do a quick workout. I would work on my book. And so it was kind of combined time for me. But otherwise, I do not work weekends. And that frees me up to do more social things, to take my kids hiking, to take them to their sports activities. My son's in t-ball and hockey, and my daughter is in acting and gymnastics. And so Saturdays are really our social time. That's our together time. That's when we recharge from the week. We do see each other in the evenings, but I'm going to be honest, that's not the best version of me that they get. I am tired. I've been on calls for 8 hours. I've done a ton of work things. I've been working on my checklist. So I'm not always as present and as engaging with them as I want to be. So the weekends are really that very specific time for me to have that. The next bucket is mindset. So a good friend of mine, Katie, has really been pushing me in my mindset space. For me, this is a very uncomfortable thing. I do try to read a self-development book every single month. This keeps me investing in myself, finding new ways to think, new things to think about. And then something that my stylist actually got me onto is I do color like every day. So I bought a coloring book. I find 15 minutes every day, 20 minutes every day, however much I can. And I go sit outside with my pencils and I color. My brain cannot work. It is restful time for my brain. It is reset time for me. It makes me feel creative. It makes me feel like I'm investing in myself. It's like a sweet little 15-minute thing that I do for myself. Now, that time is not scheduled, but it's when a meeting ends early or it's on my lunch break and maybe I'm eating my charcuterie board while I color, whatever it is. Or it's in the evenings after work, but I do really try to have that coloring time. Now, it's helpful. My daughter is super, super creative. And so she'll come outside with me sometimes and we'll both sit there and she'll color in her coloring book and I'll color in mine. So it's also bonding time for us. And I found that that's something that's really special to me. And the last one that I'll mention in the mindset piece is I do garden. This is the second year I'm gardening. So let's all be honest. I'm not an expert by any means, But I found that just being outside, having my hands in the dirt, growing things, that self sense of satisfaction that I get when I can cook something that I grew for my family is really enjoyable for me and really feminine for me. Especially for women who are high performers, we tend to operate really high in our masculine energy. I was trying to do more feminine things, the coloring, the gardening, just to kind of bring myself back to basics. And I have noticed a huge improvement in just how I feel and how I'm engaging with my family. So those are some things I recommend in that space. And those are, again, for gardening, that's a weekend activity. My kids will be outside playing in the yard. I'll be in the garden. My husband's hitting golf balls. It's kind of like family time, but it's also my time to kind of spend outside. And then the last category is faith and spirituality. So I've talked about before, I am a Christian. If you are not Christian, apply this to your respective faith or spirituality preference. For me, there are three things that I do every single day. Now, these are non-negotiables for me. I do them either first thing in the morning when I wake up or the second that my calls end at work. They have become really important parts of me and my schedule. So the first is that I journal, and I actually learned this from something that Emma Watson does, but I write three things that bring me joy or that I'm grateful for. I write three things that were kind yesterday that either I did for someone or they did for me. And then I write three things that I'm proud of myself for that I did well. And those three things really force us to think of the positives, especially when you're a high performer, you're type A. It's really easy to get dragged into all the negativity of like, oh, this meeting didn't go perfect, or this thing I wanted to do didn't go out on time, or I didn't complete my to-do list yesterday. But by reflecting on the previous day and writing three things that I did well, it really does kind of help reframe your mind and help with that mindset. And then I also do affirmations with that, that are things I'm improving on or things that I want to bring into existence. So a lot of this is like, I am part of God's kingdom, or I am a good mom, or I am enough even when I'm not productive. These are things that are in my personal affirmations that are really just helping me reframe, saying them out loud, getting comfortable with them, rather than just saying like, oh, I need to feel better about this thing. It just helps reinforce it. So journaling is like the first thing. It's a big must. I do it every single day. The second thing is that I pray. So I pray and journal. So I write down what my prayers are every day so that I can look back 6 months ago and see, oh my gosh, all of these things came true, or like, oh, I'm so glad this thing I prayed for didn't come true, or whatever it is. And it just helps me see how God's working in my life. It's a good reference point for me. Even if you're not Christian, highly recommend writing down what your hopes and dreams are, what you want, and then looking back and seeing how you've progressed from those times. And then the last thing for me is that I do read my Bible. So I have a weekly virtual Bible study that I do with some girlfriends. We really read like one small section of the Bible every day. That keeps us engaged, keeps me in God's word. So I'm a huge fan of that. So those are three of like the spirituality and faith practices that I have. Like I said, sometimes I'll do those first thing in the morning while I'm still waking up before I do my workout. If I can't squeeze it in, then I'll either squeeze it in between meetings or as soon as my meetings end for the day. So that was a lot of information about like all of the different aspects of my life that I'm trying to optimize in as a high performer. And now we'll talk about how I do that. So I've talked about it before. The number one tool that I use is I have a Remarkable tablet. And in my Remarkable tablet, I have a planner. So the way that my digital planner works, and I got this from Etsy, the planner was like $7. So here's my month, and I can write all of my monthly appointments. And then if I click at the start of the week, that will drill into that week. And you can see all of the appointments that I have that week that I want to do. So I have a weekly view by hour. And then if I click on the day, it pulls up the to-do list for that day. So when I have a task I know needs to get done, I will just write it on the to-do list for that day, even if that day is 6 months in the future. Or say I know I need to follow up with somebody, I'll just write that on the day of the follow-up. So this helps me stay really, really organized. And it also helps me with my time blocking. So I do a hybrid of time blocking and what I call day blocking. So time blocking is the idea that you do certain types of tasks in a block together, and that keeps your brain operating in the same direction. You lose less productivity switching, or you lose more productivity when you switch a lot of tasks. So staying in time blocking reduces that loss of productivity. But we all know in corporate, it doesn't always work that way. Somebody schedules a meeting, throws off the whole vibe. So what I try to do is I try to do certain types of tasks on certain days of the week. And then when I can time block, I do. So on Mondays, those are my content days. I record all of my TikToks, Instagrams, YouTube videos. I write all my LinkedIn posts. I write my weekly emails. I record my podcast episodes. I do all of those on Monday. And then I'm set up for the weekend. I don't have to think about that anymore. Now, I also will time block those things. So maybe it's the first hour of the day I film content and it's the last hour of the day I do podcasting, whatever it is. But that really helps me kind of structure it. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays are my corporate job and when I take clients. And then Fridays is when I do sales, follow-up, outreach, and also when I do my corporate job. So these are kind of how my time is structured personally. Even within corporate, I take all my one-on-ones with my team members on Fridays. I do all of my one-on-ones, my networking for my career on Mondays. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I have hours blocked in the afternoon to just deliver materials, create slides, finish an analysis, send it to my boss, follow up on emails, things like that. So I found that this combination of day blocking and time blocking works really well for me because I know what to expect each day. That way, Thursday, I'm not stressing about content because I already got it done on Monday. But also on Tuesday, I'm not stressing about all my one-on-ones because I know they're going to happen on Friday. So it just gives me that peace of mind. And what I try really hard is to brain dump anything that's not on that schedule. So if today I'm not doing content, I'm not thinking about content because my brain space needs to be free to focus on all the other things that I'm doing. And because I found this rhythm and this schedule that works really well for me, and I know it's written down in my digital planner, I don't have to waste the brain space trying to remember all the things. I just know that I have them. So that's there are two big tools that I use, the time blocking, day blocking, and then the Remarkable tablet with the calendar. The other thing that I use is I use an app called Anote. So Anote looks like this, and you can have different sections, and you can also add different tasks. And you can set those tasks to repeat. So if I'm out and about and I think of something that I need to do, and I'm not near my Remarkable tablet, it goes in the phone. And then every morning I reconcile what's in the phone with what's written down so that I don't forget stuff. And that keeps me kind of cohesively organized. I have something on the go and I have something on the tablet. Now you can get the Remarkable tablet on your phone, but it's, for me, it doesn't operate the same. I need like the big screen and to write stuff down. So Anote is kind of how I keep track of tasks when I'm out and about or I need to make a grocery list. That's in there. It's also where I save my budget files so that when I get paid, it's on my phone what my budget is, and then I go and pay certain bills, whatever it is. So those are three big tools that I use. And then the last one that I'll talk about within the Remarkable tablet is you can create a lot of folders and notebooks. So here's a bunch of folders. So I have one for personal development. This includes things like health, planning my workouts, planning my meal plans, grocery lists. I also have one for self-development, which is where I take notes when I'm reading my self-development books. I have a folder for that career coach. This is where I put brand deals. This is where I talk about speaking engagements. This is where I take notes on my goals and what I'm thinking about. It's where I ideate and have like random brain dumps. I have one for Mrs. Colorado. I have one for my corporate job. And then I have my planning section. So this really helps me stay on top of it. And everything's in one place. It's all digital. It's all saved to the cloud. And that kind of helps me structure my time. And then the last thing that was asked specifically in this question was, how do I plan my weekends? So I pretty much don't. I am a hyper planner, hyper fixated Monday through Friday person. Everything gets done on its day, on its schedule. I'm all about it. Saturday and Sunday, no. Now, I have kid events. So I have two young kids. So there are sporting events, there are birthday parties. Those things get scheduled. We have church on Sundays when we go, and that gets scheduled. My husband is an avid golfer. So during the summer, that gets scheduled. But for the most part, aside from those types of activities, I'm going to wake up Saturday morning and figure it out. Because I've already hit my workouts, because I've already gone to the grocery, because I've already planned my week, because I've already done these things during the week, I don't stress myself out Saturdays and Sundays. Now, Sundays, I do all the dishes, I do laundry, I plan my week. So I come into my tablet, I compare both of my schedules, I make sure everything makes sense and I'm not going to miss anything. I write out my to-do lists. Like, I get ready Sunday night so that Monday I'm not stressed and I can sleep well Sunday night. But other than that, for me, the weekends are like my genuine go with the flow time. I wake up, hey, you want to go hike? Great. Where are we hiking? What are we doing today? Vacations are obviously different, but for the most part, the weekends are really my downtime. That's when I recover so that Monday I can hit the ground running again. So this is a little bit about how I personally am balancing all of this stuff. I know it's a lot. There are definitely days where I don't hit things. So Monday was a great example. Sunday I found a book. Yeah. And then I couldn't stop reading. And then at 1 a.m., I finally went to bed. Well, like, was I going to wake up at 5:30 when my alarm went off to go work out? No, I was not going to do that because I was tired. So I woke up a little bit later and I didn't have time to work out before my meeting started. So then I go to all my meetings. I do my normal stuff. I cook my lunch. All of that stays on schedule. Then I've got to work out Monday night, which is like a bummer. I just hate it. So I ended up working out Monday night instead of Monday morning. So there are definitely days where I don't do things. There are also days where I would just skip the workout. Now, because it was Monday and it was fresh in my mind, maybe I worked out in the afternoon anyways, but a lot of the time I'd be like, psh, today's workout, it's just not happening. So I definitely don't check off every single item every single day, but I aim to. I am a checklist person. I am an organization person. I am very type A high performer. And so this kind of helps me. The hardest thing for me to fit in is that quality time with family. Because I am doing so much, I'm so focused on so much, it is hard for me to disconnect and play with my kids or just chill. So something like coloring that my daughter and I both enjoy is really great for us. Reading books to my kids is something that I really enjoy because I really like to read too. So that brings me a lot of satisfaction. On the weekends, doing quality things that both me and my kids enjoy, going to their practices, going hiking, going to see a movie, going to the zoo. I like to do those types of activities. Because for me, that's where the quality time with my kids really comes through. So I hope that this was helpful for you guys. If you were listening, definitely feel free to ask me any questions. I am not perfect with this at all. You can also go check out the episode on productivity that I did with Emily Guerra, because she gave a ton of great tips on how to focus there. But for me, the honest answer is sometimes we have really good days. Sometimes we have really bad days, but ultimately figure out what works for you. Get the tools in place to help you stick to it. Figure out what are your 6 categories or 3 categories or 2 categories that you want to optimize your life in and really invest in those and stop comparing yourself to what everybody else is doing. Okay. What I laid out in this episode of how I manage my time does not have to be how you manage your time. If it doesn't work for you, do something different. Try something different. Figure out different tools. But for me, this is what works. And so when you stop comparing yourself to everybody else, you'll find a lot more satisfaction in what you're able to accomplish. So if you liked today's episode, go ahead and give us 5 stars. Leave any comments or questions below. And as always, just like Haley did, you can go to my website and leave me any questions you'd like me to talk about, any requests for advice. Requests for advice will always be anonymous. Otherwise, I so appreciate you guys tuning in, and we will be back next week with another great episode.